with you this evening. Trixie sends her apologies. She's not too well, but made a wee bit of progress yesterday. She was in the first time in 2.5 weeks. She had a wee walk. It was quite a nice afternoon yesterday, and I think in a few days' time she'll be back to normal. So she sends her love and good wishes to you all tonight. What I'm going to do this evening is just, I'll just go through some of my pictures, and then we'll, just by way of thanking you for all your support at Christmas and that, and after we've gone through the pictures, I'm going to read the scriptures and we'll have a wee study in the final half of the service this evening. So thanks. You probably wondered if we got many teddy bears. Well, as you can see, we did get many teddy bears, and this is yours truly in our house just before Christmas with all the teddies. Now this photograph was taken by the Motherwell Times, and we got a phone call from the local newspaper, and they said, "Ray, we want to know if you can give us a good news story for Christmas, because there's so much bad news. We would like to give Motherwell some good news this Christmas." So I said, "Well, actually, we're just about to wrap up all our teddies, so if you come up quickly, you can photograph them." And so, right, they said, "Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, so the photographer came round and photographed the teddies just before they were wrapped up. And he was really impressed, and he said, "I've been photographing many toy collections over the years as a photographer," he said, "but I've never seen one this size." And so that's just some of the toys you can see. That's just one wee corner. But he had me in all kinds of positions. I was under the tree and over the tree, and I had boxes in my hands, and he took about 20 photographs, can you imagine? And every time he said, "Smile, you've got to smile." But Trixie was hiding in the bedroom, so she didn't get taken, but I thought he'd just take the teddies, but no, he wanted me in it. So I thought it was my wedding day. I was smiling that much, that my wee jaws were locked. I couldn't smile anymore. So after taking about 20 photographs, we got one, and I'm actually on the front page of the newspaper, in a wee insert, and then the full story is on page 3. So we were, and all my neighbours and all Motherwell was coming up to me, and they were saying, we saw you in the paper, we saw you. That's tremendous. It's great. We didn't realise you did all this, and you've been doing it for years. And so it was the talking point whenever we went down the street or in the shops or in the supermarket or just with our neighbours in the lift. Everybody was talking about the teddies, and they thought it was wonderful. And even some folks were knocking the door and bringing us some more teddies after they saw it in the paper that we were collecting teddies. So it was the biggest collection that we'd ever had, and we did better than Asda again this year. We always beat them for our toy collections, and it was really, really terrific. But it was really a lovely story that they put in the newspaper talking about it. I wondered what they would write if they would try and bring down Christianity, but they didn't. They wrote a really lovely report, and it was really, really good. And the teddies were just so nice. And thanks for all your help in getting us all the things that you did, the toys, the wrappings, the sellotape, the pretty ribbons, everything that you brought. We went to good use, and it was a real impact for Jesus. Again, and thanks to you all. This is all the bags. They're all, Trixie chooses all the wee things. They might come from all different places. Like, for instance, we had all these little dolls that were Disney, you know. We had Snow White and Cinderella and all the Disney toys, and Trixie, they come from all different places, and Trixie will put them all together for a wee girl that likes Disney, or if a wee guy likes Spider-Man, we collect all the wee Spider-Man things. And they get a big parcel full of Spider-Man, you see. So we put it all together as a theme. And just one wee story. I went down the stairs to my wee neighbour just on Christmas Eve. And Trixie had wrapped up this lovely parcel for the wee girl. She's about 3 or 4. And she's a single mum. So I went down to visit my wee neighbour and take presents to the wee lassie. And she said, "Would you like to come and see her room?" So she took me in, just a poor wee house, you know, and it's not very well decorated or anything like that, because she's struggling, but she took me into the a wee girl's bedroom, and just on the wall, on the border, and all around the wall were all the Disney characters, Snow White and all that, and it was just beautiful that I knew in the parcel we had all the Disney toys, you know, wrapped up for the wee girl, and we didn't know it, but God knew, and He had prepared this little parcel just especially for that little girl, and it was absolutely fantastic. And saw her after Christmas, and she said, "Oh, she really loved her stuff, Ray. That was wonderful what you did. Thank you so much." And so it was great that God used all these little toys and all these little things. He brought them all together. Here are all the bags in the house, and they're bags for family, maybe five or six kids in one family, and they're all put in a big bin bag. And the labels, see the wee labels? That's so we know what family it's to go to. So you can imagine the work and all these bags having to be taken down on the lift and out into the Jesus bus and then distributed around the community. But the Lord was really good, and there was no snow, and it was dry nights that we were going out, and it was not even any wind or rain on the nights we were going out, and everybody was at home that we called on, so we didn't really have to go back two or three times to anybody, but all the kids got their toys and they got their presents before Christmas, so that was really fantastic. Also, we had lots of goodies that Trixie got, all these baskets, and she's great at presentation, and she made up all these lovely baskets of goodies, you know, chocolate and biscuits and shortcake and everything that was given and distributed to us from all the different churches, and we made up 9 or 10 of these baskets, and we took them to families, and one lady we called on, she said, "How did you know? How did you know?" And I said, "What? How did we know what?" She says, "My husband's just left me. How did you know? She's left with 6 kids. And her Christmas was going to be really, really bleak. And yet we arrived on the door with a lovely hamper for her." She said, "How did you know?" And we said, "Well, we didn't know." And I was saying to Trixie, "But the Lord knew. The Lord knew. And we arrived just at the right time to encourage." So we were able to take these little baskets of goodies round to different families and maybe single parents that are struggling and different ones that have had hard times. And we were able to go these beautiful baskets, and they really, really are gorgeous, as you can see. And everything Trixie uses, all the ribbons and all the little flowers and everything that you give, nothing's wasted, and everything's made into something beautiful for the Lord. This is our Christmas tree. It's still up. Actually, you can come and see it if you like. And this is Trixie's Christmas tree. She wanted you to see it. It's made of wood. And she got a joiner to cut her 3 triangles of hardboard, and they all piece together with Velcro. And she's made her Christmas tree. It's all decorated, as you can see. It's all these lovely little goodies. It takes her hours to tie all these little angels and things under the tree. And that's our wee living room. You can see it now without all the toys around it. You couldn't see it before Christmas because all the teddies were everywhere in the house. So that's just a wee look at our wee tree. The Jesus bus was able to take all the stuff around. And you might be asking, what about the new bus? Have you got the new bus? No, we haven't. Please pray. We're not worried or panicking or anything, but it's hard. It's hard to get a bus. It's hard to get a bus. And we're just praying to the Lord that we might get one similar to this, and that we might get it maybe in the next few weeks or so. So we've got all the resources and all that we need to get the bus, to buy the bus. It's just a matter of finding the one that the Lord has for us, and then we'll get it all ready to keep on this work for the Lord. It's still going. The old one's still running. The kids were so thankful and appreciative, and we got some little cards from the children thanking us. Here's a little Pikachu from a little girl, and we'd actually given her, you can actually see in the picture, she's got a wee Nintendo. Pikachu's holding the wee Nintendo that we give the little girl, and we knew that she was into the Pokemon, and this little machine came with all the Pokemon games, so we knew immediately who to give that to. And this little girl, she's written at the bottom, but I've typed it out for you so you can read it better. She's thanking us for the games, and she made Trixie a wee, lovely wee tile, and we picked that up from her nana's, and it's a beautiful wee tile, and Trixie's got a place for that wee tile. Another wee neighbour came up to me just the other day, and she had made us this wee thank you, shaped in her heart. I've printed it out for you tonight. It says, "Dear Ray and Trixie, thank you for being so kind, buying me presents. Yous have been very good friends to me. I just want to say thank you so much. Love, Beth." And she's drawn us some nice wee pictures. You can see me in my wee shorts and ponytail there. And she's thanking us, Trixie and me and wee Beth there. And she's so excited. She's my wee neighbour. She's one of the children, because her mum, when her mum was a wee girl, used to come in the Jesus bus. And so it goes on, the work goes on, her mum's still in touch with us, and she's actually our neighbour now. So it's really good that wee Beth got something, big bag of goodies, and loves it very, very much. So Trixie wanted you to see this because she had an idea for her divers for Christmas. Her divers, she's learning to dive, as I've told you before, and her diving team were going to Egypt before Christmas for a dive in the Red Sea. So Trixie wondered what she could give the divers as they were going away to the Red Sea. And she wasn't able to go because she's just a trainee. But the divers were all going to the Red Sea, and Trixie had an idea because she found that we had in a box in the house these little tiny glass dolphins. They're only about an inch or 2 inches, little tiny glass dolphins. And she had a whole pile of these in a little box. And she thought, "I know what I'll do. I'll give every diver a little dolphin." So she put each one inside a little tiny net. It looked like it was caught in a wee fishing net. It was a beautiful wee net. And she had it tied up, the little dolphin in the net, and she had a little card that said Mizpah, because she knows that the divers are curious and they would wonder what that word meant, and they'd be looking up on the internet and everything. And it comes from Genesis. So as a witness, she gave every diver a little dolphin, and she gave this out to them before they went away to Egypt. And we were just thinking, what they would think of that, you know, and we felt strongly that the Lord was in this, you know, so it was quite a miracle because they came back from Egypt, and one of them, he's a big fireman, big tall man, and none of them are Christians apart from Trixie, but she said, "What was the highlight of your trip to Egypt?" And they all said, "It was when we were diving and along came a dolphin." You know, isn't that remarkable? And this big guy said, "But Trixie, you knew God had told you that we were going to see a dolphin because you gave us all a wee dolphin." Of course, we didn't know that they were going to see a dolphin. But God knew, and God was in that. You know, you might think a little tiny glass dolphin. You see, God's into little things. We have proved this over and over and over again. It's not the big things that God uses. It's these tiny little things. Things that you would think, "Oh, that's just, I give out some lollipops tonight." You think, a little lollipop, you know. We've given out thousands of lollipops. And you know, it's a real witness. You know, Mars bars, we've given out thousands and maybe tens of hundreds of thousands of Mars bars, you know. I calculated it one time years ago, and I calculated how many Mars bars we'd given out. This was in the 80s. And I measured a Mars bar, actually, and I thought, now, a Mars bar is so many inches. And I calculated, you know, this was years ago, I calculated the length of Mars bars that we had given out, and it was stretched to miles. That was at that time. I think we would have been in the Guinness Book of Records. But, you know, little things, God uses these little things, and these tiny little dolphins, you know, that you would think there's no use for, God used that. And these men know, and women divers that are fairly godless, they admitted that God was in this in some way, because this dolphin came and it behaved in a very unique way, and it stayed with them and it swam with them for a long, long time. And this was a very unusual experience, an experience that they'd never had before. I know that we do read about it happening and that, but this diving team has been in a lot of places and it had never happened before. But they said, God knew, Trixie, God had told you that we were going to see a dolphin. So that was really, really encouraging. People are lost, you know. Lost. We heard this at our service again this morning. People are lost, you know, and this is for the young folks. This next picture. Do you know where this picture comes from, girls? Finding Nemo, yeah. Look, it's dangerous to be lost, isn't it? It's dangerous, isn't it? It's dangerous to be lost, you know? And boys and girls and young people and adults are lost. And this is why we do what we do for children and for grown-ups as well. Because to let people see that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cared for them, that Jesus died on the cross, and that though we're lost and in danger, we can be saved, we can be found by Jesus. He loves us, and he died on that cross for us. Okay, now we're coming up to Easter. I think it's only 6 weeks to go, but thank you. I've already had 2 eggs tonight. Thank you very, very much to the young lad that brought the eggs. It was announced in Johnson last week by John Dick that we needed eggs. And some of the boys were there and have responded already. And we need 200 or 300 Easter eggs again. It's only 6 weeks to go. And this is what the children do for us at Easter on the Jesus bus. They draw us posters and they paint eggs. It's a competition that we have. And they hear the Easter story. And they have to do their work with the Easter story as well and answer the Bible questions. But another thing that they have to do is do this for us. And this is some of the eggs. I think it's either last year or the year before. We always have a great response from the churches every Easter. We get all these eggs in, and it's a real witness for Jesus then when we can go around and give out rewards for the competition. And it goes into the homes, and it goes to a lot of families as well. Our neighbors, children get them. Children of friends that we love and witness to at the sports centers and everywhere that we go, we can take these eggs around the community and into the neighborhoods and into the homes. And it speaks for Jesus. It speaks of the love of Jesus. And we can build relationships through the Easter eggs. So remember us for the Easter eggs again this year. I expect this year we're going to get even more eggs than ever before, because they're really so down in price now that it is absolutely wonderful what we can do with the eggs. Now we're going to read a wee scripture together. I said that I'd give you the wee pictures and then we would read a wee scripture. I want you to turn with me in your Bible now, please, for the second half of the service. And we're going to read, maybe I could have a wee bit of light up here now, in Psalm 46. We're going to read in Psalm 46, and could I have the light on, please? Thank you. That's it. I can see now with my glasses. Psalm 46, verse 1. And I want this psalm to encourage you tonight and really stir up your heart. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Tefillah.
Let's just have a wee word of prayer. Father, we ask that you'll quieten our hearts and speak to us through your mighty word now, as we give thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Thank you for all your songs tonight. Thanks to Lindsay, and thanks for our bass guitarist, and thanks for all your participation in the singing. I've got a song for you tonight, and it's this song, Psalm 46. I'm not going to sing it to you, but it is actually made into a hymn, isn't it? We sing it in Roman Road. I'm sure you do too. To the tune of the Dam Busters, isn't it? It's a fantastic tune, and it's a fantastic song. And the tune is a tune of victory, a tune of battle, a tune of war. It's a song. It's a song of victory. God is our refuge and strength. It's a psalm. It's a psalm of the sons of Korah. They were the temple musicians. They were the holy musicians. And this is a great song. And I've given it a wee title. You know the way some of the psalms have a title over them. I've just made one up for this one. I said to myself, Ray, it's a song to make you strong. A song to make you strong. I don't know about your circumstances tonight. I don't know if you need victory today. Do you need victory? I wonder, has your week been a battle this past week? I wonder, has it been a war? A war. There's a great war going on, you know. The powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the principalities, Satan and his angels. There's a great battle going on. A battle for your mind, a battle for your heart. A battle for your soul. I wonder if you've been in a battle this week. Malky was telling us today about a sailing ship that just lies at its berth and the sails are all shredded by the wind. But I was looking out the window, the kitchen window today, and we've had builders cladding our tower for the past year, and when they came over a year ago to start, they put up four flags. Four flags. Two white ones and two red ones. And it had their name on it, which is Lovell, L-O-V-E-L-L, these big banners. Big tall flags with their name on it, banners. Two red and two white. And when they hoisted those banners up about a year ago, they were absolutely perfect. And you could see for miles who was doing the work. But I was looking at them today, and they're just in shreds, you know. The only one, there's a red one, that you can see two letters left on it. The two L's at the end, L-L, that's all you can see. The white ones are in shreds at the bottom of the pole, you know. And the wind and the weather have devastated the flags. Are you still flying the flag for Jesus? Remember when you were first saved, you know, and you hoisted that banner for Jesus? But as we go on sometimes in the Christian life, with all the battles and everything that comes piling into our lives, the flags get a bit tatty, you know, and torn sometimes. And we need renewal, we need renewal. A wee song that I love, a modern Christian song, there's a line in it that says, "Are you flying the flag? Or are you letting it drag? Are you flying the flag? Have you got the banner of Jesus hoisted high in the battle? Or is it being trampled on by the enemy underfoot?" I was asking about a friend of mine that 20 years ago, when I came to Scotland, more, 27 years ago, I really admired him. He was Prince of Preachers, just a wee bit older than me, and he was just on fire for the Lord. And I was asking him about him recently, and they said that he's just nowhere for God. You know, someone that I listened to and admired, and, you know, who flew the flag 20 years ago. But now he's letting it drag. And that's really, really sad. And I say, Lord, keep me true. It's a wee song I love, and I sing it all the time, just to myself and the Lord. And it's a wee chorus, and it says, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power. Every hour to be true. And it could be in my life, some point, that instead of flying the flag, instead of the flag being there in all its glory, it's tattered and it's ruined, it's like that ship at its birth with the sails all shattered and torn by the weather. And we need to hoist the sails again for Jesus. Is there a way back to God? Yes. We can be restored. We can come back. We can be renewed. We can let the flag fly again. God is our refuge. God. That's who we need. We need God. That's where the answer is. Christ. Jesus. The power of God's what we need. God, the Holy Spirit, can revive us. And He can renew. And He can lift us up when we're feeling down. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. What is a refuge? I asked myself. What is a refuge? I asked myself this when I was studying it over the last couple of weeks or so. What is a refuge? And I find out very, very simply, the refuge is what we have in Psalm 32 and 7, where David says, you are my hiding place. The refuge is a hiding place. A hiding place. You are my hiding place, says David. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs. There's the song again. With songs of deliverance. And it has to be a safe place. A refuge is a safe place. A refuge is a hiding place. And God, I wonder if you ever thought of it this way. I thought of it this way. I thought it was beautiful. Got it myself when I was just quietly before the Lord. God is a safe place to hide. You got it? God is a safe place to hide. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Now, I'm not a fearful person. I know some lovely Christians, and they're my friends, and they're fearful, you know, fearful kind of people. I'm not really a fearful person, but I do get frightened. I do get afraid. And what I'm afraid of and what you're afraid of, it could be poles apart. You know, we're all different, you know. We're all different. I go to college. And I'm doing a computer course, and I was walking along with one of my classmates just the other night, and she suddenly screamed and jumped across the corridor. I thought, no, what's happened? My heart was beating. And you know what it was? You'll think it's funny. It was this asterisk painted on the wall, you know, maybe a decorator had done it on the wall, a wee asterisk. Just, oh, I thought it was a spider, you know. Thought it was a spider. Terrified of spiders. I think they're actually quite cute wee things, you know. Not everybody's terrified of spiders. A lot of people are, you know. A lot of people are. Amazing the kinds of things that scare us. In the psalm here, he's not talking about spiders and things like that. He's talking about things that are really life-threatening, you know. He's talking about a sea storm. He's talking about an earthquake. They're terrifying things. I think every one of us would be scared if we found ourselves in a sea storm or in an earthquake. We'd all be terrified. I would be. Even the most brave of us get terrified in things like that. But, you know, wee things like that. Snakes. Some are scared of snakes. You know, I was in Africa, and I remember I was at this beauty spot, and it was a beautiful waterfall. was in a place called Kafue in Zambia, and I was sitting there at the waterfall, and it's a big magnificent waterfall, and I was looking at it and admiring it, and I just looked down at my feet, and I was sitting on a rock, and I looked down at my feet, there was a wee hollow under the rock, and there was a snake, and I knew it was a puff adder. They're very dangerous. It was a puff adder, you know. I knew by the markings. I'd studied a wee bit of wildlife. And there's this puff adder, but it was asleep. It was asleep at my feet. So I just sat there quietly. I'm not really afraid of snakes, and it was asleep anyway. So it wasn't any threat to me. But you know, sometimes we get afraid of things. And it can be all kinds of different things. And sometimes I get afraid, and I need God. In that circumstance, I need a place to hide. I need a safe place. I need to be able to go to the Lord. And sometimes when the telephone rings, you know, if you've got a situation, and I've got one right at the moment, of someone that I love who's very ill, and when the phone rings, you're afraid to answer the phone. In case it's bad news, have you ever had that kind of a thing? You're afraid to answer the phone. Or maybe it's when the letterbox rattles in the morning and you're afraid of what might be lying there in the carpet that has come in the mail. And you're a little bit afraid. Or maybe you're going through some health problems, and when you're at the surgery or at the hospital waiting room and the doctor comes into the room and your heart starts to beat because you're afraid. You're afraid of what he's going to tell you. You're afraid of the news that you might hear. Or even sometimes when we look out the window and the snow blizzards. I hope that's them away for the year. But I remember looking out not so long ago and the snow blizzard and just wondering how I was going to get my work done, you know, and how I was going to get out and about and everything. But luckily it didn't come to anything. But sometimes when a strong voice comes and we're threatened or attacked by somebody, we get frightened, we get terrified. And we want to run away and hide. And it's okay to do that, you know. Did you know that? It's okay to hide. It's okay to hide. David often did it, you know. He said, "You are my hiding place." He was attacked by Saul, by the king's men. And he had all these wee hiding places in the caves and so on. There's nothing wrong with hiding. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing to do. David did it and he never lost a battle. He never lost a battle. And it's okay to hide as long as you hide in the right place. As long as you hide in the right place. You know, a lot of people hiding tonight. They're hiding in the pubs, you know. They're hiding in all kinds of places tonight. They're not hiding in a safe place. There's only one safe place. And that's in the Lord himself. And then when we spend time with God, I hide with the Lord. My wee hiding place with the Lord is on my wee carpet in the living room. I'm always flat on my face. If you were to come into the house any morning, you'd find me there flat on my face with the Lord. That's the way I like to get in this presence. And you might have a different way of doing it, but that's what I like to do. I'm flat on my face. I'm on this wee rug that I love and I'm praying to the Lord and I'm in my safe place. I always feel safe. I always feel secure. I'm in my wee hidey place with the Lord. And he gives me strength there. And then I can rise up from my wee hiding place and I can go out and I can face trouble. He can face trouble. He says, "You are my refuge and strength." When you hide in God, then you're strong. It's not hide and seek. It's hide and strong. It's hide and strong. That's what it is. When we spend time hiding with God, then we can come out and look trouble in the eye because he gives us new strength. They that wait on the Lord, says Isaiah, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you feel weak? Do you feel helpless? Do you feel frightened? Do you feel, "I can't face Monday morning"? You need to get into the hiding place. You need to get alone with God. Get there tonight. Sunday night. It'll make you strong for Monday morning. If you've got something tomorrow that's terrifying you, And I don't know what it is. Maybe a situation at work, situation at college, a situation with your health, situation in your family. People have been prayed for already tonight that are going through trouble. And I don't know what that trouble is. You do. God is their hiding place. God is their refuge. God is their strength. We can't really help them at the end of the day. Only God can. And God in the morning will help you to face the day. You know, the wee song says, Jesus knows all about our struggles. You know, the doctor's not God. The doctor is not God. So many people, the way they talk, you'd think the doctor was God. The doctor, God, the doctor. If you're a doctor here tonight, God bless you. I'm not running you down. We need doctors, we need nurses, we need medical staff, we need pharmacists, we need all these wonderful, gifted people that God gives us. But the doctor's not God, but Jesus is. I had a lovely young couple at my door just recently, and they said, we worship Jehovah. And I said, you know, the difference we pose apart, but I said, you know, the main thing that worries me about what you believe is, I said, you pull Jesus down when Jesus deserves the highest place, because he's God. He's God the Son, co-equal with the Father, but you pull him down. And I said, sorry, I'm sorry, but Jesus takes the highest place. The doctor's not God, but Jesus is God. No matter what your problem is, no matter what you're struggling with, Trixie's going through diving and driving. God knows all about decompression. We've gone through these decompression tables that she had to learn. We went along to the exam, and even the instructors were confused with it, you know. And I, who'm not even a diver, I was helping out this instructor to work out the decompression tables, because she got it all wrong. But you know, they've got computers, of course, that do it, so they don't really use the tables. But you know, whether it's decompression tables, or whatever it is, you know, medical problems, Jesus knows all about decompression tables, doesn't he? Jesus knows for me, it's my computer course, and when I get stuck, I have to remember, you know, Jesus knows all about computers. He knows all about relationships, family problems. Jesus was in a family. He knows all about relationships. He knows all about problems. He knows all about what's inside us. Sometimes the problems with ourselves. I don't know what's happening to me. You don't, but Jesus does. Jesus is the number one psychiatrist and psychologist. He knows all about what's going on in you. He knows your emotions. He knows your heart. He is the specialist. If it's finances, Jesus is the accountant in chief. He knows every virus. You know these superbugs? I think Trixie's got one of these superbugs. I was talking to a wee man in church this morning. He's saying, oh, Ray, these superbugs. He said, I was on the golf course. He said, I just scratched my chin. And he said, it must have left the cut. He said, a virus got in and my whole body was covered in red sores. My whole body was covered in red sores. Jesus knows all about the superbugs. He knows every cancer cell. He knows everything. And did you notice, and I'm finished, did you notice that it says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. I love that, you know. Jesus doesn't just show up some of the time, you know. You don't need to ever worry. Has Jesus heard my cry? You don't need to worry. It says he's the ever-present help. He never, ever feels to show up. The Message Bible has got it beautifully. If you read it when you go home, it's lovely. You can read the whole psalm in the Message. It's lovely. But for that wee bit, he's got God at your service from the crack of dawn. I love that. God, it's all hyphen. God hyphen at hyphen your hyphen service hyphen from crack of dawn. Isn't that beautiful? God is my ever-present help in trouble. God is at my service. When Jesus was here, he served the people, didn't he? And God, He's still serving me. He's at my service. From the crack of dawn, before I even wake up, Jesus is at my side. He knows what my day's going to be. He knows what I'm dreaming. What I'll think when I wake up. When I go into the kitchen and spill the milk and start moaning and groaning. I've not even gone out the door and I'm moaning already and blown it. Jesus knows. And He's with me. And He won't leave me. Or He won't give up on me. He's going to perfect me. He's going to make me like Himself. And I'm going to glorify Him forever and ever in heaven. I'm going to be made absolutely like Jesus. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. Here's a song for you today. A song that will make you strong. Let's just give thanks to the Lord. Holy Father, we just marvel tonight at all Your grace and all You give to us in the Lord Jesus. Father, to think that You're at our service from the crack of dawn, Lord. 24/7 You're there, loving us, caring for us, giving us strength and a place to hide. Oh, Lord, isn't that so wonderful? You don't take the troubles away, Lord. But You say that You'll be with us through them all. Lord, we can go through any storm with You in the boat. Any earthquake. Because You're there. And we thank You, Lord, for the wonderful assurance that there is a city, the holy place, where the Most High dwells. God is within her. And she will not fall. And so, Lord, we ask Your blessing upon Your people tonight. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.